Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network. I am so excited that you are all with us this morning if you are on the West Coast, and this afternoon if you are on the East Coast. I am coming to you live from Los Alamos, New Mexico. It is a beautiful sunny day here, and I am incredibly thankful that fall is upon us. I am looking out right now over the beautiful Sangre de Cristo Mountains, that I can actually see the Santa Fe ski area from my studio right now, and there is snow up there. So for all of you winter activity lovers, I just wanted to share that little bit of love with you. You know, I am really thankful to be here with you. I am the Walk Your Talk host and also the voice of the adoptee, and I really am here to be of service to each one of you. You know, November is Adoption Awareness Month, and there has been a lot of chatter in the media, social media. Everywhere we look, we've been hearing all about adoption, the effects and challenges, and the beauty of adoption as it ripples throughout our country and throughout our world. And I am really privileged to be here today. We're going to talk today about open records for adoption, how that affects the adoptees, the birth families, the adoptive families, and kind of the chain of events that can lead up to finding information or the roadblocks that can stop us from getting the information that we so desire. You know, if you're here joining with us, I'm believing that your heart has been touched by adoption in some way. Staggering statistics are out there. There's between 6 and 7 million adult adoptees in America, and that equates to about 12 to 14 million adoptive and birth parents, not to leave out or exclude the 24 to 28 million grandparents and countless siblings that are out there affected by the heart of adoption and touched by the heart of adoption. And there are many in the triad who are hurting due to post-adoption issues, the secrets, the silences, and the separations and the disconnects that can happen for adoptees as well as first families and adoptive families. And oftentimes that disconnect can be due to a lack of understanding with those who are involved in the triad and those who love them the most. And so for me, as the Walk Your Talk coach and the voice of the adoptee, I absolutely love and adore adoptees and their families, and I am here to be of service in any way that I can. I am a reunited adoptee, a gal of the 60s, who has been very privileged to have my adoption circle complete when I have been able to locate and find and have relationship with the many different people who have touched my life since the day that I was conceived. And again, very privileged to be here with you. I do want to go ahead and share a phone number with those of you tuning in. If you have any questions or thoughts that you would like to share with us today on our radio program, the phone number that you would call in is 646-716-9397. And without any further ado, I am joined today and very excited to hear from my lovely guest today. I am joined by Deanna Schroes, and she is a lovely woman who I have come to respect and enjoy reading her blogs, reading her chats on adoptee restoration, as well as becoming another sister in the life of this adoptee, Leanne Parsons. And so I want to take just a moment and introduce you a little bit to Deanna. And she, like I said, is a very, very beautiful woman. She is a licensed minister with the Assemblies of God, and she served as a pastor for over 26 years, along with her pastor husband, Larry, whom she met at Valley Forge Christian College when they were both preparing for pastoral ministry. They've been married for 26 years and have three children and live in the Tampa Bay area, where they co-pastor the Celebration Church of Tampa. And Deanna speaks at churches and conferences internationally. She's also an accomplished musician, worship leader, songwriter, and a certified coach. As an award-winning writer, she's also a contributing author to several different blogs and is just a really lovely woman. She also manages the Adopt-A-Restoration page and serves as a columnist and, oh my goodness, a regular contributor at Adoption Voices magazine. And she is really passionate about bringing hope and healing to adoptees in the Christian community and beyond. And so, Deanna, welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne today.
Thank you, Leanne. It's such a privilege to be here.
Well, it is a real privilege to have you with us. And, you know, as I have visited your site and read your blogs and seen your heart fully displayed, I do see your compassion. I see your desire to be of service and to be just a real beautiful voice within the triad of adoption. And so, Deanna, would you just please share with us a little bit about your story and why you are having such a strong desire to have a voice out here in the heart of adoption?
Absolutely. I was adopted in 1966 in a closed domestic adoption, and I always knew I was adopted. One of the things my adoptive parents did right was to tell me from the very beginning, when I was so young, I can't even remember the first time that I was told that I was adopted. And although I always knew that I'm adopted, I didn't always know that I had another name. And so one day when I was hiding actually under my parents' bed during a childhood game, I could feel something cold and something heavy. I pulled it out into the light, and it was a black fireproof box. And I opened the box, and there I found my adoption papers. And, of course, that wasn't a surprise. I already knew I was adopted. But what I did find was my legal name change papers. And it was then that I realized the first name I ever had was not Deanna. It was Melanie. And so I asked my adoptive parents about it, and they told me that when they adopted me, my legal name was changed. And furthermore, my birth certificate had been changed. It had been altered to reflect my adoption, and then, of course, it was sealed. So I had a yearning to know my history and where I came from on both my maternal and my paternal sides. And upon becoming an adult, the first step that I took was to go to an ALMA meeting, and that was my first exposure to learning anything about searching, and it was extremely helpful. And so after, you know, it was a very, very long story as to how I ended up finding my maternal side. But I searched and was reunited with my original mother, sister, and brother in 1993. And I still don't know anyone on the paternal side of my family. I'm currently DNA testing. I'm searching where my paternal side is concerned. So like many adult adoptees, I still don't have my original birth certificate or my adoption records and have really just navigated post-adoption issues by the grace of God. You know, in all honesty, I really don't know how someone manages this journey without the grace of God, a relationship with God, and the presence of God in their life. And healing from the post-adoption issues has really been an ongoing journey for me. And that's really what fires up my passion to help other adoptees. I want them to know that there is help, there is hope. My relationship with the Lord and going through therapy as well with a therapist who specializes in post-adoption issues, among other things, has been really, really key for me to bring me to a healthy place. And I want to help others come to that healthy place. So in a nutshell, that's me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. And you really gave us a beautiful peek into the life of Deanna. And it is a real privilege to be able to take a peek there. You know, as I have been doing the different studying, you know, 31.6% of the adoptee, or 64.3% of adoptees feel that they are disconnected in some way with their lives, with their stories, and with the information that they are able to get. And, you know, as I was listening to you, Deanna, share your story, you know, it sounds like you did come up against some roadblocks. And what a blessing it was for you not only to really have a relationship with your Savior, but to even understand that as you have walked that path into more discovery about where you came from and what your heritage was, that you did find some resources out there that were able to help you.
Yes, absolutely. The adoptee community has really been, you know, I always say there's three components. There have been three components that have been key to me in moving forward. And one of them is my relationship with God, and then therapy, and then, you know, just an absolutely incomparable component is the adoptee community. And really the first parent community, too, have just wrapped their arms around me and been so healing, so gracious, so necessary in my life. And so I'm so grateful for this community.
Absolutely, and I am as well. You know, it's interesting when you were talking about finding that box with some of your information in it and realizing that you had a first name that you didn't even know that you had, that was given to you by your first mom. You know, I had a very similar situation, and I had this total vivid picture as you were sharing that. What age were you when you found that box?
You know, I don't remember exactly. It was really a defining moment for me, but the moment I well remember, but my age, I can't really tell you exactly what that was.
Yeah.
I just...
Oh, right, and that's totally okay. You know, I don't remember the age that I was either, but I remember asking my adoptive parents if they had ever kept a baby book, right, with records in it, because records were so important to me. My friends would show me their baby books, and they would say, "Wow, Leanne, you know, when did you first say this word? Or do you have a lock of your first hair from your first haircut?" You know, I would get asked these questions, and I didn't have an answer. So I remember going to my adoptive family and asking, hey, Mom, did you ever keep a baby book for me, right? And she said, you know, no, I don't think I ever really did.
Wow.
Okay. And I just kind of let it go. Well, then one day I was being super sleuth, and I was up in this little cubby in my mom's sewing room. And I remember crawling into this cubby where she kept all of our Christmas decorations and that kind of thing. And I found a box with a little pink book in it that has some information in there about me that she had started, I think, probably when I was first introduced into our family, and I don't think she ever picked it up again, and I honestly think she probably forgot she even started it. But I did find this, and I held that little secret for many, many years, and I didn't even tell her that I had found that. And so when you found that information and you saw that name Melanie on your paperwork, what was one thing that came up for you that really was a deciding factor into you pursuing that there was more to you than you ever knew before?
Well, you know, looking at that, actually, you know, my whole name was Melanie Lynn Alley, and I had struggled really my whole life with my identity, wanting to know the truth. And it had nothing to do with my relationship with God. I have had a close relationship with God since the time I was just a little girl. And as an adoptee, many times I've heard, just find your identity in Christ. Of course, you know, many Christians tell, just Christians in general, of course, that we are to find our identity in Christ. But regarding my earthly identity, many people would say, just find your identity in Christ, and kind of just try to pacify me with that. And I had already established a relationship with Christ from the time I was a child. I never had any problem identifying in Christ or even accepting God as my Father. I know a lot of people struggle with that. I don't. I never have. I not only accepted Christ, I talked to God constantly all throughout the day, and having ongoing conversation and close relationship. But knowing my identity in Christ and knowing the identity of my earthly parents are two completely different things. And so it mattered a whole lot to me, you know, ever since I was a child, as to, you know, who are my natural parents and where did I come from? And, you know, even just the issue of genetic mirroring, you know, trying to look and find a face that was something like my own was really a struggle. And so that was a lot of really what propelled me. And just the unknown was very very difficult to deal with, just wanting to know the truth, wanting to finally know the truth of where I came from. And so it was definitely a drive within me from the time I was just young. And I had asked my parents about any other information, and they told me whatever, my adoptive parents told me whatever they knew, and did not withhold anything from me. And they supported me in writing to the adoption agency to get non-identifying information, which I also got as much as I could with their support before I turned 18. And it was just some basic information. And then once I did turn 18, I actually went to the agency to find out more information.
Oh, that's beautiful. And that takes a lot of courage. And kudos to your adoptive family for really seeing that deep desire within you and standing beside you and walking you through that process. That's a really unique situation within the communities that I have had the privilege of speaking with. And so that, yeah, that's very beautiful. And so, you know, we've talked about finding information and locating resources that can assist and support us during this process. And I know that there are many listeners out there who have heard of some of these resources, such as, oh my goodness, search angels, adoption angels, different support groups, and that type of thing. When we are faced with trying to find this legal documentation, there are some brick walls that oftentimes we can jump up against, and that we are faced with. You know, as I was doing some research under the New Mexico law for adoption rights and that type of thing, what I found out here in New Mexico, the current law, is that unless the birth parents and the adoptee have consented to the release of their identities, inspection of records is limited only to non-identifying information, which can include health and medical history, physical descriptions, a general family background, the length of time that the adoptee was in care and custody of any person outside of their adoptive parents. And it also states that the original birth certificate is available only upon order of the court. And so that is the current, you know, in my state, local current law. And so when you think of open records and closed records, Deanna, from your perspective, what information can you share with our listeners about what all of that looks like in real time for those of us who are walking this road of adoption?
I'm not sure exactly what you mean by that. Do you mean my personal perspective of open records, or are you talking about the reality of open records as they currently are in the United States?
Absolutely. Well, I think we should discuss both of those.
Okay.
You know, let's go ahead and talk about the open records as they sit right now within the United States, and then I would love to hear your perspective on that.
Great. Okay, well, now this is the information as far as I know it, and certainly open to correction. There are people that know much, much more about this than I do, and I would actually encourage anyone who wants further information to go to www.adoptierightscoalition.com, and they can get a lot of great further information. But there are currently, as you mentioned, 6 to 7 million adult adoptees in America, and as I understand it, in 44 states, original birth certificates are permanently sealed, meaning that adoptees can never see their original birth certificates with the name of their natural parents. And so in Kansas, Alaska, Alabama, Oregon, Maine, and New Hampshire, adoptees at 18 can receive birth certificates that have their birth parents' name on them. And this means that in 44 states, adults are still being treated like second-class citizens. Now, recently, there was a huge victory, which we're really excited about, for adoptee rights in Pennsylvania. My dear friend Amanda Wolston, who works with Pennsylvania Adoptee Rights, she's founder of Pennsylvania Adoptee Rights, and she and her colleagues had a huge victory recently as HB 162 has passed the House unanimously. It's now on to the Senate. So we are prayerfully awaiting the vote and excited about that. And at the same time, only 7 states have open records currently. As I understand it, Pennsylvania would make number 8 if the bill passes the Senate, and then we would have 42 more states to go. So we are just, you know, really prayerful about that. So that's where things stand as I understand it. Like I said, I am definitely open for correction there of people that know much, much more than me and could advise us on this. I'll tell you how I see it. I see open records ultimately as a spiritual issue. I just believe that God is all about truth. I've heard many people talk about God being on their side through different battles, and I believe the important thing isn't whether God is on our side, but whether we're on God's side. And I believe that following principles of the kingdom of God means that we line up with what God says and who God is. Numbers 23 tells us God is not a man that he should lie. And furthermore, he's not about keeping secrets or orchestrating any kind of cover-up. And Scripture repeatedly says this, that, you know, the Bible goes on to say that secret things will one day be shouted from the rooftops. And some of my favorite verses in this regard, Luke 8:17 says, "For all that is secret will eventually be brought out into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all." And so 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message we heard from Jesus, and we now declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." And so we can see all throughout the Bible that God stands for truth and for light. Everything about the character and the attributes of God are truth and openness. And so I personally believe if we're going to get in line as Christians, when we're speaking about this from a Christian perspective, if we're going to get in line with God's ways and means and his way of doing things, and we're going to be on his side, we're going to stand for truth in all things. We will refuse to live in lies and secrecy and the spreading of such. And so when it comes down to it, at the bottom line, we have to say, are we on God's side or not? The bottom line to me is if a person is a party to secrets, to lies, to stealing, you know, in an attempt to cover up information, simple as that, you know, they're working for the other team, basically. And so I believe that there is a spiritual stronghold. I know this is political. I know that we do have to fight it in the political realm, and certainly there are a lot of amazing people out there in the adoptee community and first parent community that are working very, very hard for that. And I also believe, as a Christian, I believe there is a spiritual stronghold that is at work when it comes to closed records. I believe there's spiritual warfare involved, and I believe it's going to also take, in addition to fighting politically, I believe that it's going to take prayer and fighting in the spirit realm to break this injustice, because it is an injustice that God is not happy with. And I believe that it is going to take an absolute spiritual breakthrough for us to see a complete breakthrough in the United States in the realm of equal rights for adoptees.
Well, thank you for sharing your heart. And those statistics are staggering. And when we think about that there are 44 states that the records are permanently sealed, you know, and kudos to Pennsylvania. I did read about those victories. It's a huge win for adoptees, no doubt. And, you know, when children are adopted, we do receive revised certificates, right? That's the truth. They really do have altered information as far as our when we were born into this world, that information is changed on our original or on our birth certificates, and the information that we are given is very reflective of the gift that we have been given in our adoptive family, but it does dismiss our first family, and it does dismiss that part of our heritage. And I truly agree with you, Deanna, in the fact that nothing good ever happens in secret, and our God is not a God of secrets, and he is not a God of confusion. And he really does want to bring clarity and transparency, authenticity, and an incredible love and grace into our lives, and that sense of identity of really knowing who we are, where we came from, and an ability to trace our history and our ancestral roots to the place, you know, all the way back to him, as well as our biological families. And, you know, there is a lot of talk, and there's a lot of different schools of thought on these issues as far as protecting the privacy of so-and-so individuals, right? It could be protecting the privacy of the adoptive family. It could be protecting the privacy of the birth family and protecting the privacy of the adoptee. So, you know, one thing that I heard overflowing in your beautiful just presentation to us right now about your heart and your beliefs surrounding this issue of closed records, and that I hear coming from many, many adoptees, birth families and adoptive families, is that secrecy and that mystery that surrounds all of that is shrouded in an area that does not bring glory to God or glory to the institution of families in general and what was designed and created to be family. And that does cause a huge disconnect for so many people. And, you know, a lot of the critics that say that different adoption bills would violate all of these different privacies, and, you know, some people can say, oh, my goodness, it might encourage women to choose abortion over adoption, which is another huge political issue. You know, I'm kind of standing here to say if nothing good happens in secret, that doesn't matter if it's birth records or any other secret or circumstance in our lives, that it's really important to keep everything kind of open and on the table for people's ability to embrace their life story, as well as help and encourage and stand shoulder to shoulder with people as they journey through life. And so when you hear me say that, yeah, what kind of comes up for you, Deanna, in that area of open records, secrecy, and even in the sovereignty of God?
Well, I think there's a root of shame there, and you know, we break the power of a secret by telling it. You know, we're only as sick as our secrets. There's no glory in secrecy.
Right.
I really believe what some people call privacy is really secrecy, and what some people call discretion is just rooted in pride and shame. You know, as far as, it's interesting that you would mention, you know, where does the sovereignty of God come in? I recently saw a quote by a Christian leader who said, who is an adoptee, who said something to the effect of, at some point, an adoptee's need to know their information has to bow to the lordship of Christ. And I have to tell you, I do not agree to that. Jesus has never asked me or anyone else who is an adoptee to bow to secrets. And I see bowing to the lordship of Christ and bowing to injustice are two different things entirely. I don't believe that Jesus expects us to bow to injustice. Does he expect us to bow to world hunger or to the sex slave industry or to any other injustice? Of course not. I see that closed records are a human rights issue. It's not a lordship of Jesus Christ issue. And I see that Jesus expects us to rise up in the power of the Spirit to change the world, to triumph over injustice. And it's not Jesus Christ who tells us that we can't know our history. Our need to know has not been denied by Jesus. Our history is actually held hostage by an ungodly system that is currently in place in our country that still declares that in a majority of states, adoptees don't have a right to know where we came from. And Jesus is not asking me and will never ask me or any other adoptee to bow to a denial of our history, because Jesus stands for truth. And since Jesus is all about truth, I believe he is empowering us to bring a change, not to settle for injustice, but to say, hey, I'm with you, and I'm with you in this quest for equal rights for adoptees.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just really agree with you on that fact that, you know, nothing good ever happens in secret, and we do not have to bow down to secrecy. And some of the laws that were instated many, many years ago, they are not serving the adoption community very well at all anymore, hence what has brought forth some of the open adoptions that are now, you know, becoming much more popular in the generation and in the stories wrapped around adoption now. And back in the 50s, and back, you know, going all the way back to the orphan train, right, there was a lot of secrecy, and people didn't think that it was necessary to have the information surrounding our genetic history as well as just even our family story. You know, when you were talking about that reflection, the adoptee's reflection, you know, oftentimes what people forget in the general population, when they are sitting at the dinner table with their families and they're enjoying a meal together and it's a biological family, they see directly sitting across from them someone who can reflect their heritage. They can reflect, you know, physical characteristics, emotional characteristics that are very representative of their family history and their legacy. And for an adoptee, that necessarily is not happening for them. We cannot look across the table and see our self being reflected back to us. And while we can have that in our relationship with our Savior, that is a completely separate issue than our relationship with our adoptive and biological families. And so I just kind of want to echo that for a minute, that those relationships are different. And just because, yeah, we have a struggle with wanting more information about our genetic history and our biological information does not mean that we are not trusting in the sovereignty of God in our lives and His perfect plan and story for who we are and the journey that we're walking. And so thank you for bringing that up and really putting an exclamation point on that. You know, a lot of the work that I do in my coaching practice with adoptees and their families is talking about that legacy. You know, we have a legacy before the Lord. We have a legacy of excellence. We have a legacy of encouragement and purpose and love and family. And those, our first family legacy isn't one that can be dismissed. And so when we are stopped from getting that information, it can be a huge stumbling block for us to continue even, you know, pursuing healthy relationships, whether it be as a parent, parenting our own children, or even in our marital relationship. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people don't realize within the Christian community and outside of the Christian community, is that the ripple effect of our adoption and not having the complete information can really impact our lives in a lot of different ways. And so when you, how difficult was it for you, Deanna, to gather all of your information to make your reunification dream a reality?
The magnitude of how challenging it was can't even be described in not only not on this radio show, but probably in my blog in its totality over the course of time. I mean, there's really no accurate description to give to how challenging it was and actually how challenging it still is, because it's not over. I'm still on my paternal search right now, and this affects everything in my life. It affects my marriage. It affects my children. Not knowing the information actually, you know, affects my children to a great degree. It affects my health. It affects my finances. It affects my emotions. It affects me spiritually. It affects everything right up to this day, and really always will until heaven. I mean, it affects our lives. It doesn't ever end.
Right. You know, and I have shared this on, I've had a couple of different shows that I have spoken about adoption on in the last several weeks, and it's very interesting that some people think that adoption is completed when the papers are signed, and that let's just all move on from here. And everybody kind of just step into their new role and let's just make the best of this. And really what comes up for an adoptee and even for the biological families and the adoptive families, there are always questions. There are always different scenarios and situations that people don't even think about. Even for teenagers in the dating relationship, you kind of wonder, wow, can I be related to this person that I'm attracted to, right?
And that's happened to people. Yes.
It has happened. Absolutely, it's happened to people. And, you know, for me, the different fantasies that float around in your mind, wondering, wow, is she my birth mom? Is he my first dad? You know, is that what she looked like or he looked like? And oftentimes, just all of those questions that can go floating around. And it does affect how we show up in this world. It does affect how we choose to do relationships. and that kind of thing. And so I really appreciate you sharing that. And before we move on to our next area, I'm going to give you some food for thought, Deanna, while I give a little commercial break for our radio network. I would like for you to share about how, since we touched on the areas of how the lack of open records affect adoptees, I would like you to touch on the fact with us, the emotional and financial component that after I give this little commercial break. So take some time, take a breath, and gather your thoughts together, and then we will continue to chat some more about that. Does that sound all right?
Yep.
Okay,
great.
Fantastic. Thanks, Deanna. All right, listeners, again, I thank you so much for joining Walk Your Talk with Leanne into the heart of adoption today. We are really privileged to have you as part of Life Coach Radio Network. I am one of 50 coaches. We are growing by leaps and bounds here on Life Coach Radio Network, and we have some fantastic shows on three different networks that you can tune into. And I just want to take a brief moment and share with you some upcoming shows that we have here on the Life Coach Radio Network. The first one is on 11/8 at 12 o'clock, and it is Improving Your Workday by Changing Life Outside of Work. And you can join Carrie Spaulding, the 30-something coach, as she shares her thoughts about improving your workday. Also, on 11/11 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, you can join me again, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach and the voice of the adoptee, as we walk into the heart of adoption again with Carissa Woodwick. And she is a Korean-born adoptee who has a beautiful story and a beautiful heart about advocating for the human heart and really leaning in and listening to the heart of the adoptee. And I'm really excited to be able to share with her on 11/11 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then again on 11/12 at noon Eastern Standard Time, tune in and listen in as our life coaches chat about Fund a Fortune. And they are going to talk about creating a very fun business. And as I was reading the synopsis for that show, they're going to be talking with singers who have actually found their voices again and have started some real creative, fun businesses. And then one more show I wanted to share with you about is another time that I have the privilege of being on Life Coach Radio Network this month, raising awareness about adoption, one conversation at a time, is on 11/21. It is a Thursday, and I will be joined by an amazing, beautiful authoress by the name of Sherry Eldridge. And she has authored several books, including Questions Adoptees Are Asking and 20 Life-Transforming Choices That Adoptees Need to Make. And I will be joined by her on Walk Your Talk with Leanne again on 11/21, and we are going to be talking about all things surrounding adoption as well. And so bring your questions, bring your heart, bring your open mind, and a real desire to dispel and get rid of the secrets and the mystery surrounding adoption to open up the gift that are waiting for us in this beautiful journey that we have had the privilege of walking into. So thank you for that little commercial announcement. Again, if you would like to call in and speak with either Deanna or myself, Leanne, the number to call is 646-716-9397. Perfect. Well, Deanna, we are back again, and we are going to share some more about how the lack of open records can affect us emotionally, financially, and even spiritually.
Yes. I'd like to share that the lack of open records affects the adoptee in every way and throughout their lifetime. Positive adoption language proponents desperately want us to say that we were adopted instead of the fact that we are adopted. And it doesn't matter how you clean it up, how you spin it, I am adopted. I will always be adopted. I will never wake up not adopted. So So my natural family is reality. My adoptive family is reality. My situation of being adopted is not going away. It will remain this side of heaven. But there is hope, there is help for the adopted, but our reality will always be one of adoption here on earth. So closed records affect us very deeply spiritually within our soul, as with any denial of basic human rights. And I know we grieve in our spirit for what we were and what we are denied. Our spirit cries out about the injustice because that's exactly what it is. And we've been denied our most basic human right to know where we came from. So this denial affects us spiritually, it affects us emotionally, and many adoptees will not stop at anything, even financially, to fulfill the cry that is in their heart. I remember when my husband and I were living on a pastoral salary of $21,000, and that's total. That's not just one of our incomes. That was our total household income of $21,000, and we had two little babies. We were strapped even just for basic necessities when I completed my search for my maternal family. And here we were struggling just for our basic needs, but yet my husband saw the importance of us prioritizing the search because this affected me so much as a human being, as a wife, as a mother, as a pastor. I was extremely affected by all of this, and so we prioritized it. But it doesn't end there. I mean, it didn't end back then with my maternal search. This year alone, in 2013, I've spent more money on post-adoption issues than ever in my history, in the history of my life. And so adoptees are affected in every way by the lack of human rights and open records. And it does just go on and on and on. But again, there's hope, there's support, but it doesn't go away. And so, you know, I have the Lord to lean on. I've taken advantage of fantastic therapy. I have the adoptee and the first parent community. And, you know, and I need all three to make it and not only survive, but to thrive. And I want to say it's very important to note that, you know, I am strong, I am resilient, I'm not just a survivor, I am a thriver, but all of this is not by chance, it's by choice, it's, you know, by a choice to get the help that I need to thrive. And so, yes, it has affected me in every way, shape, and form, but I am thriving because I've made a choice to get help.
Well, congratulations on really taking the steps, Deanna, that you needed to take to bring yourself to that place of wholeness and completeness and real health.
Mm.
Because really, truly, we do want to thrive, and we can thrive in this whole journey. We don't need
Absolutely.
To just survive it. And I loved what you shared. You know, we are adopted. It's not that we were adopted at birth. We
Right.
are adopted, and that is the truth about our story and about who we are, and embracing that truth, claiming that truth, and understanding that that truth does have effects on us positively, right? The beautiful, there's so much beauty in the heart of adoption that is there that we can experience if we choose to do that. And then there are also tremendous trials, right? As we learn to walk that and really understand what all of that means for us as individuals. And, you know, each one of us are going to face it in a lot of different ways. We're all going to have questions and thoughts that bubble up for us, and being able to reach out into a community of therapists and coaches and community networking groups and that type of thing is incredibly powerful in our lives to realize that we're not walking this alone. And, you know, that's one of my greatest dreams. You know, I was challenged before to really dream big, and if I had to dream really big, what would that look like? And I think what comes up for me a lot, Deanna, and I hear it in the passion of your voice as well, is one of my really, really big dreams is that no adoptee or birth mother or birth father would ever have to feel like they are walking this journey alone.
Mm.
That they do have someone to stand shoulder to shoulder with them on this journey. And that every family touched by the heart of adoption would be perhaps having a coach standing with them, a best friend with them, that they could be open and authentic and very honest with about the challenges and the victories that they're facing. that together we can all realize the privilege of just how beautiful we have, you know, legacy of grace and love and what that can really look like. And, you know, a lot of my practice as well is focused on the tapestry of adoption and really being able to identify what those missing threads are and the missing cords within that tapestry of adoption. And one of those cords that is so incredibly crucial is that records, the biological records, the genetic records. You know, as I have spoken with adoptees throughout my entire life, I have been sharing stories with fellow adoptees and biological families and adoptive parents. And one of the frustrating things that comes up for all of us is when we go into the doctor's office, Deanna, and they want our medical history.
Mm.
And, you know, whether it be a yearly physical, an emergency situation, or I just need a checkup because I need to talk to somebody, whether we're at a chiropractor, a foot doctor, a medical doctor, a psychologist, a therapist, whatever, they want to know our medical history. And for those of us who have not had the privilege of finding out that genetic and biological information, the only thing that we can write across the page is "I don't know" or "adopted" and a big
exactly.
question mark. And that does keep coming up for us, those of us whose records are sealed and we can't get there. And with 44 states with the records still permanently sealed and both parties often in many states needing to agree to have that open, that presents quite a challenge for adoptees to try and get some medical information.
Absolutely. That is a major, major problem, the medical history. I've just gone through that just again with a lot of different tests since my natural mother passed away, and I've had a lot of doctor's appointments in an effort to be proactive with my health, and that absolutely never ends, filling out those forms and having to write, "I don't know, I'm adopted." And even though I am in touch with my entire maternal side, I'm still having to write that on the forms about my paternal side, and in fact just went through a lot of testing about that medically just recently, and even being faced with paying for those tests and how I was going to come up with the money for that. I mean, it's just, if I had all my history, I wouldn't have to pay for this, both, you know, and that causes emotional distress right there, just having to, just the not knowing about your medical history and having to pay to try to get answers. It's just not easy.
Absolutely. And like you said, you know, that does put a financial strain because those of us faced with the situation, and I know I was included in that, the money that you have to pour out to get this information. Some people need to hire lawyers and searchers and attorneys to help them get the information from the court system, to have these records opened up, that, like you said, that extra genetic testing that needs to happen because we don't have access to those medical records. And that is incredibly challenging. Because as we have found out, as medical technology continues to increase and all the scientific data with cancer research and heart research and the different things that come up, for the adoptee that does not have access to that information, it does put a huge financial burden as well as an emotional burden upon their story and upon their families, where by opening that up and opening up that communication would really alleviate a lot of that stress and strain on families today. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, Ray. Thank you so much for bringing that up. It has just been so delightful. I feel that we could just talk for hours on the different challenges and victories that each one of us face. And, you know, as you have walked this journey with your, well, let's, you know what? Let me just scratch that. Tell us a little bit more about Deanna into the real life of you with your family and what you're currently working on today and where you would like to see. Well, let's start here. Boy, I'm just having to back up. All these things are bubbling up for me, Deanna. This conversation with you is just really exciting, and I just feel like there's so many different ways that we could go. I'm looking at the clock going, wow, we have all of about 6 minutes
wow.
left or so to our time together. And it's blowing me away how our time has went. And so We've got about 2 minutes or so left, and I would love to hear what it is that you are currently doing to continue to feed your soul, to continue to give to this community, and to raise awareness on all these lovely issues that we have been able to bring about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned my family. Of course, my family is my priority, and I am just so blessed to have the marriage and the children that I have, and that's what just really keeps me focused and centered in addition to my relationship with God. As far as what I'm trying to do through Adopt Your Restoration, through my blog, through also my contributions at Lost Daughters, which is just an amazing group of empowered women who are writing about adoption from a place of empowerment and peace. I want to bring awareness to Christians, because the majority of Christians that I meet don't even realize that these things are an issue. Most of them see adoption as only beautiful. They don't see any traumatic aspects of adoption. They're not aware at all of the significant loss and the trauma that's attached to adoption, and or realize the need for help for post-adoption issues. And as far as the lack of open records or equal rights, that's not even on their radar. Most of the Christians that I meet, they equate adoption with salvation. They don't even see that when the Bible speaks of adoption, it's primarily referring to the experience of salvation, not to a worldly system of child adoption that includes, as we've been talking about, the altering and the sealing of birth certificates. So I really want to bring awareness to the Christian community about the need for change, the need for adoption reform, and I want to just bring to their attention and the awareness of the need for change. You know, when I tell most of my Christian friends that I don't have equal rights or my original birth certificate, most of them are very surprised. They don't even have any idea that any of this is going on, and they have a very hard time wrapping their mind around, you know, what are you talking about? You know, adoption is beautiful. Adoption is great. And many of them don't even realize who the organizations are, the Christian organizations that are fighting against open records. And many of them even fund the organizations, give their finances to the organizations that are opposing adoptee rights, and they don't even know it. They don't even have any idea at all. So, in fact, two of my friends that I shared it with, they didn't have any idea. And by the end of our conversation, these were two ministers, by the end of our conversation, both of them had tears in their eyes and just said, Deanna, we never knew. We never knew. We never knew this information. And what can we do now that we know? And so, you know, my passion is to raise awareness about the need for open records, and also that there is hope and there is healing for post-adoption issues, because most Christians don't even, you know, they're aware. For instance, a lot of the Christians that I meet are aware of human trafficking, and ministries are constantly springing up to address the injustice of human trafficking, but most of them have no idea at all that adoption can also contain those elements of human trafficking that desperately need to be addressed and to be eradicated. And these wrongs need to be righted in our world. And so that's what's on my radar, Leanne. I'm passionate about saying, hey, Christians, be aware, and let's work together for change so that I don't ever want any other children in the world to have to face what we have faced where records or post-adoption issues are concerned. I mean, I just dream of a world where children aren't going to grow up with these issues.
Oh, absolutely, and I dream of that same world, because it is so incredibly important. And isn't it as amazing to you, Deanna, as it is to me, about how unaware the population really is in the Christian world as well as outside about the fact that we don't even have an honest copy of our birth certificates, nor are we allowed access to that. And
right.
It is staggering, the different issues that each one of us have to face. There has been a lot of walls that have been put up for us, and it is time to tear down those walls.
Mm-hmm.
And to walk, yes, and so that the children in the future do not have to come up against these obstacles anymore, because as we have found, whether adoptees actively pursue a reunification process or not, that's their deal, that's their individual choice. But those questions surrounding their original identities and their original histories and their medical history is incredibly huge, and everyone does have the right to have that information before them, so they don't have to spend so much time, energy, money, and emotions wrapped up in that issue. And you know what I think about when we go to adopt an animal from a shelter? When I adopted my two animals from the animal shelter here in Los Alamos, I was able to get medical records on them. I knew that they had had their shots. I knew where they had come from, what their family situation was. I even knew that my special dog, Max, came from a divorced family with two other dogs that he lived with. I even knew that adopting my pet. And it helped me to understand, right, what Max's history was, how we could best serve him, love him, and help him adjust to being in our family because of the different separation issues that he would experience and the losses that he knew. And I know that that's kind of a funny comparison, but it kind of pops into my mind going, wow, if we have that for an animal that we are graciously opening our home to, why do we not have that for a child whose life is so much more precious than any animal? Why do we not have that same privilege to give that child the best opportunities for a whole and complete heart in this journey? Because these questions are going to come up. I have yet to meet an adoptee who has not had questions like you and I have spoken about on our radio show today. I have not met one. Have you, Deanna, ever met an adoptee who just said, you know what, none of that really matters to me. I don't care about any of it.
No, I've met people who say that they don't have a desire to search, but I've never met people that just want to know absolutely nothing at all about themselves. Yeah, I mean, when I say search, I should probably say reunite. I've met people they want to know some of their history, but not necessarily to reunite. And in some of those cases, I wonder just how deeply they've really explored their feelings. You know, I'm not discounting their experience. I'm not judging them for coming to a different conclusion. I'm just saying, you know, over time, our thoughts can change. And over time, our feelings can change. So sometimes we feel differently when we explore our feelings, over time.
Absolutely. And as time goes on, you know, we're not the same person at 8 that we are at 58.
Absolutely.
Right? Or 28. And so as we, like you had shared at the beginning, we had discussed the fact that we are adopted. That doesn't change. You and I have that as part of our story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we were, it's that we are. And as we grow and we mature and we learn and we experience more of life and enter in and out of relationships with people, we do see how the impact of our adoptions affect us. And it does make us more curious or less curious as time goes on. But to have that freedom to be able to explore the information and have it available to us is incredibly valuable at the different stations and chapters of our lives. And to keep that open, and like you said, for the children growing up today in, you know, this century, that they would not have to walk through and up against the block walls that we have had to experience. You know, I know for me, I was adopted through Catholic Charities, and I had to send money for non-identifying information. And then I had to give request after request for more information. I had to petition the courts. I had to find a searcher. I had opportunities to do a lot of things, but it wasn't an easy road. And how much more beautiful would it be if that road was paved in a little bit of gold for future generations?
Yes, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Deanna. What closing thoughts? Wow, we are almost at the top of the hour. What closing thoughts do you have for us and our listeners on Walk Your Talk with Leanne through the Heart of Adoption?
Well, I'd just like to first of all put it out there, if you don't mind, that we've got the Lost Daughters Anthology coming out. I'm a contributing writer to that, really excited about that. People can find out more on thelostdaughters.com. This is a great book that's coming out. It features the collection of writings by the Lost Daughters bloggers, and its aim is to bring readers the perspectives of adopted women and to highlight their strength, their resiliency, their wisdom, and it's being published in print and e-reader through CQT Media and Publishing. and the Land of Gazillion Adoptees, and this is coming out in November of 2013. So check that out. It's from my dear Lost Daughter sisters and myself joining together to just put out a great collection of writings for adopted women.
Thank you so much, Deanna, for sharing that. And again, this is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach and the voice of the adoptee. You can find me at Life Coach Radio Networks. I have been privileged to be Coach of the Week, so go check out our website at lifecoachradionetworks.com. You can also find me at walkyourtalkwithleanne.com as well as the voice of the adoptee.com. I will be, like I shared earlier, be having continual radio shows focusing on the heart of adoption and the different issues that each one of us face as we journey this thing called life. I am very privileged to have had Deanna with me today. I am very privileged that each one of you listeners have chosen to carve out this hour of time with each one of us. If you would like to contact me more directly, you can reach me at 505-412-1817. And my heart is for you. My heart is for adoptees and their families to help them identify those missing pieces and those missing threads in the tapestry of their adoptions. I have incredible programs and processes that I take adoptees and their families through to really help them create tapestry. It does not need to have that missing thread. And so again, this is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach and the voice of the adoptee, very privileged to be with you and share with you. I love you, and I wish you a most beautiful Thursday. And stay tuned for more amazing shows to come. And thank you again, Deanna.
Thank you.